Hello, you're listening to Peterborough Currents. I'm Aisha Barmania. This is the second episode of our series on the 2021 Budget Week, and today we're talking about arts and culture advocacy.
You know, when I first moved to Peterborough, I was drawn to the thriving arts community. Coming back here to Peterborough, I've taken advantage of the low, moving back into my house, low mortgage. My partner and I are able to do a lot more work in-home digitally. We're able to rehearse because there are spaces here in Peterborough to be utilized. I'm having clients from Toronto. I'm now in talk about having clients from Toronto come to Peterborough because they are needing spaces to rehearse. Simple things like that, where it's been overlooked in the past because Toronto has offered all of these resources. But I'm really seeing now that Peterborough has an opportunity to really seize the moment and an opportunity to maintain that reputation that Peterborough had when I moved here 20 years ago. And this is almost an opportunity to revitalize the arts community because of economically where we all are, but because of the talent that lies here in Peterborough. And by doing that, we can generate some income and we can bring more work and artists into this area.
That was Peterborough performing artist Beau Dixon speaking at the public budget meeting on Monday. During his presentation, he joined the calls for sustained arts funding from the city and more support for artists working during the pandemic. He added his voice to the calls spearheaded by arts and culture advocacy group EC3, the Electric City Culture Council. Since advocacy and lobbying is a major part of the material that gets considered when drafting the budget, I wanted to understand more about how advocacy groups set their priorities and go about their work. So I called Sue Ditta, the executive director of EC3, last Monday, and I asked her to start by talking about how she is approaching arts advocacy with regards to this city budget.
So for the 2021 budget, of course, it was different than in previous years. We needed to think about what the overall situation with finances was going to be with the city, which was that the city was facing a very significant deficit. What kind of money was going to come down from the province and how much? How much of that money might be earmarked for other things? And how much we thought we might be able to ask to be earmarked for our sector. We have to also be very quick on our feet in terms of a gut reaction that happens in a time of crisis, which is everything else is more important than the arts or a luxury, because we know from feedback and from many, many articles and research papers that have produced, in fact, the arts have been a critical tool for communities, for large populations and small, to get through this crisis in good mental and spiritual form. So we had all of those things in mind. Then when you think about, okay, what things are we going to do that are direct advocacy or hard advocacy? And what kind of things could we do that are indirect advocacy or soft advocacy? So one of the things that's different in advocating this year around financial support for the arts is that the arts are invisible right now. That venues are closed, exhibitions aren't happening or happening only in recently in small forms, concerts aren't happening, Arts Week 2020 was canceled, and that normally happens right before budget discussions. That was a huge issue. And the second one was the kind of advocacy had to be shaped towards the incredible vulnerability the community had right now, and that there were certain organizations that were having a particularly tough time, the venues that are box office dependent and have high operating costs. Mm. So all of those things are informing our work as we prepare the advocacy program.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you've done, EC3 has done a fair bit of research on the impact of COVID-19 and the recession on the local arts community. How are you synthesizing all this information and what is that, what are the priorities that are coming out of this information you're looking at?
So Organizations in Peterborough say pretty much the same thing that organizations all across the country and internationally say, that the first thing to survive and to have a healthy recovery and better long-term future is to have stable basic operating income. So that means that we wanted to argue for no cuts to the community investment and project grants budgets and to the service grants for arts, culture, and heritage organizations. Mm-hmm. So knowing that that stability is there makes a huge difference to people.
I wondered if you could just speak a bit to what role do these community grants play in the arts ecosystem?
The community grants are essentially the contribution from the municipal level of government to the operating grants of the core major arts organizations in the city. The service grants fund some, and I can talk about those separately. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, a group of about, I can't remember exactly, maybe 20 groups that get their municipal level of their operating funding through that program. And it's absolutely crucial. So that money combined with the provincial money they get, combined with the federal money they get, creates a core operating budget to pay for overhead costs, so to pay staff salaries, rent, office supplies, insurance, all of those really critical things that you can't go on and carry on with unless you're paying your utility bill and making sure you're covered by your insurance and that you have money for basic marketing and promotion and all the things you need to keep your doors open. You know, there comes a point, and I know a number of groups feel now they're going to just squeak through till the end of the calendar year, which for some people is the end of the fiscal year, but it was going into next year where things were really, really dicey because uncertainty is our worst enemy right now. We have no idea when things can open right up again, no idea when we can get back to our audience, to our ticket sales, to our fundraising events. So it becomes a certain point where you just can't carry on.
Mm. Absolutely.
You know, this is a sector that knows how to make a dollar go a long way. There is no fat in these organizations. People are grossly underpaid. Artists are grossly underpaid. And it's a very, very vulnerable sector to work in. So this is a incredibly difficult time. And one of the things that, as it often does, come out of a very difficult time is the resilience of some of our arts organizations. We've seen ArtSpace put mini exhibitions in its windows. We saw Public Energy organize an incredible suite of outdoor performance activities with Pivot, the same with the Fourth Line. The Art Gallery of Peterborough did their online auction and all the money is going to artists. The Peterborough singers have found incredibly innovative ways to keep rehearsing. That's one of their big problems. If they're not rehearsing all the time, they won't be ready to perform when there's a vaccine and when restrictions have lifted. And so they've worked incredibly hard, particularly for their staff and their artistic leadership, to do mini rehearsals three times a week. And people are doing absolutely everything they can, so any cuts would have shaken them to the bone.
Mm-hmm. These grants also, some of them at least, come with certain requirements that projects be completed or services be provided. How have we seen the pandemic impact organizations' ability to conduct those activities? And how is what are you looking for in terms of like any kind of leniency there?
Well, as I said, there was a comfort condition letter that it was a good one that went out with all the grants. And I would say that every major public funder at every level of government has done the same thing. They've said, here's the money that you got based on our assessment of your grant application. And in the context of who else was applying, here's your grant. But we understand these are special circumstances. And I think particularly in last year's grant applications, which would have been made in December long before the pandemic. So I think the challenge will be in the assessment process of the community investment and project grants to see, you know, what people were actually able to do and what they're proposing to do next year. But I think that that kind of open-ended granting and trust has to be in place there, because we have no idea when people can open again.
In addition to continued support for maintaining basic operations during the pandemic, DITA says that arts organizations need funding for COVID-specific expenses, like personal protective equipment, staff training, and renovations to promote physical distancing, especially as a lot of arts organizations hope to reopen in 2021. To help with those costs, EC3 is requesting the city make a contribution to its new Arts Alive Fund.
That's a fund EC3 has been building in collaboration with the Community Foundation of Greater Peterborough, and it's specifically COVID-19 relief and response funding.
So that would be addressing some of the access to PPE and those adaptations?
Kinds of things. Yeah, some people may need additional support with fixed costs. They may want to start bringing staff back. You know, they may have things they want to do in terms of virtual initiatives, anything. It's very wide open. But to date, the city hasn't provided any relief to the sector. Mm. So we were very, very fortunate to have a private individual come forward and donate some money and to offer to help us continue to build the fund. And we had a $20,000 anonymous donation, which really pushed the fund forward. And we know two other cities. It's really interesting. I'm co-chairing this new alliance of municipal arts councils, municipal and regional arts councils, and two other cities have exactly the same experience.
Of the city not providing support?
Well, they turned us down earlier, but we'll ask again, because it is a very effective way for them to provide this strategic support, this emergency report, because we do all the work.
How does Peterborough stack up against other Ontario municipalities in terms of investment in either public art or the kind of operations funding?
I don't know the numbers on public art. So I'll tell you, it's hard to know, and it's something that we should commission a really good study on if necessary, because there are reports on this, and there's some stats available from Creative Cities Network or from Hill Strategies Research that is a kind of like a literature review of all different reports that come out. But one of the things that's difficult is having a consistent baseline. So people will say that the funding it's usually reported on a per capita basis, but what do they include? Do they include our Memorial Center, which does have some entertainment activities, but it's primarily a sports activity? Do they include that in an arts and culture rundown of numbers?
Right.
If you're trying to report on where we are, it's a little bit hard to say. I've looked at different numbers. Everything I've looked at says we're lower than most cities like ours, but I don't like to throw the numbers around because it's really hard to establish that baseline.
I think that's everything I wanted to ask about. Is there any lingering thoughts you wanted to add?
You know, I think that what COVID-19 has shown all of the board and staff members at EC3 and a lot of the incredible team that we work with in the city, you know, all the sponsors of Arts Awards and all the sponsors of Arts Week, is how incredibly valued the arts are in this city, how vulnerable that sector is to any kind of disruption in their annual cycle of hard work to raise money. And finally, just how resilient and creative this sector is, what they've been able to do under incredibly, incredibly tight restrictions is just extraordinary.
That was my conversation with Sue Ditta, Executive Director of the Electric City Culture Council and Advocate for the Arts. It was recorded last week on Monday. If you'd like to hear the unedited conversation, there's a link in the show notes on our website, peterboroughcurrents.ca. That's all for today's episode of the Budget Week podcast. If you have a question about the budget that you'd like us to look into, email us at info@peterboroughcurrents.ca. Music in this episode comes courtesy of the May Hemingways. My name is Aisha Barmania, and I'll talk to you later this week. Ciao for now.